You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rigard. Coming up, a historian makes the case that today's political leaders should pay more attention to the lessons of the past.
First, the Beatles versus the Stones. Michael Jackson versus Prince. Biggie versus Tupac. Kanye versus Taylor Swift. For decades, these rock star, pop star rivalries have provided a colorful backdrop for the highly competitive music industry. In his new book, our next guest examines not just these rivalries, but what it says about you, depending on who you side with in some of these musical feuds.
Appleton-born author Stephen Hayden joins us now. He's written for Rolling Stone, Pitchfork, and is currently writing for Up Rocks. His new book is out today, and it's called Your Favorite Band is Killing Me, What Pop Music Rivalries Reveal About the Meaning of Life. Stephen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
Well, obviously, you're a huge music fan, but why did you decide to write a book that's specifically about rivalries in music?
Well, on one hand, it seemed like a pretty simple idea. You know, talking about rivalries in music, it's something that people understand. You can sum it up in one sentence, and people would know what the book was about. On the other hand, it's open-ended enough where I could really write about anything. You know, with this idea, you know, because, you know, the thesis of the book is that people project meanings onto these sorts of rivalries. And it's not just about the music, but in a way, it's about how these rivalries become metaphors for people that they use to work out, you know, aesthetic preferences, philosophy, you know, political affiliations, all sorts of things.
Right. Yeah. You talk about in some of these cases, it's not really clear that the band members themselves actually felt this rivalry, or they may have played it up, but it wasn't a deep-seated thing. But that's not really the important thing. The important thing is why the media, why we want to add this to the legends surrounding the musicians we listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, just using like the Beatles and Rolling Stones as an example, you know, that's really like the big archetypical rivalry in rock music. And if you look at the reality of the relationship between those two bands, you know, they were friends for the most part. You know, they appeared on each other's songs and they went to each other's weddings. And, you know, in the 60s, they even coordinated the release of their singles so that they wouldn't be in direct competition with each other. But when we talk about those two bands, in the public imagination, they have a binary relationship. You know, when we think about the Beatles, we think about sort of like mop-topped purity, you know, kind of utopianism. And the Rolling Stones represent this sort of dangerous alternative to that. And that has meaning for people, you know, and for a generation of people and even beyond that. You know, if you ask someone, like, are you a Beatles or Stones person, that had meaning for people beyond just sort of the musical preference. It was sort of like a way of looking at the world almost, if you preferred one band over the other. And I think you see that kind of dynamic repeat itself in other rivalries that have occurred throughout music history.
What about one that has a little currency right now, the supposed kind of rivalry between Prince and the King of Pop, Michael Jackson? Was that a real feud?
Well, you know, I don't know if it was so much a feud, because the sense that you get is that they were friendly with each other. But there was certainly a sense of competition there. And, you know, something I noticed about the book after I wrote it, and this wasn't intentional, but like a lot of the rivalries have a similar dynamic, and where you have this very popular artist or band, and then you have another artist who's doing something sort of similar that in a way gets positioned as like an alternative to that, like as a reaction. You know, because whenever you have something that just seems so massively popular, you know, there's going to be a reaction to it. You know, there's going to be people who want something different. And Prince really was that. He played that role in a way versus Michael Jackson. You know, going into the 80s, Michael Jackson was already a huge star. He had been a star since he was 12 years old. And then you have this guy, Prince, who is an upstart in a lot of ways. You know, he comes from the Midwest. You know, Minneapolis, his hometown, was not nationally known as a music city at that point. And the contrast there, I think, was very meaningful for people. And, you know, as the 80s progressed, I think that they inspired each other. You know, they played off of each other. And they did comment on it in fun ways. I mean, there's that famous story about the song Bad, the Michael Jackson song. And originally, Michael Jackson wanted that song to be a duet with Prince. And the idea was, in the lead-up to the release of that single, that Michael Jackson's camp and Prince's camp would have this sort of trumped up feud in the press where they'd be throwing like insults at each other, and then it would culminate with the release of the song. But Prince ultimately decided that he didn't want to do it because he didn't want to say "Your butt is mine" to Michael Jackson, and he didn't want Michael Jackson saying that to him. Well, understandably so, even though that seems like a huge lost opportunity, you know, for the world.
And there are other incidents where Prince and recently passed away Prince and Michael Jackson interacted, including a real life or death ping pong match.
Yeah, this is like one of my favorite stories in the book. There's the story about how, you know, Prince was filming the follow-up movie to Purple Rain. It was called Under the Cherry Moon. And he invited Michael Jackson to the set. And Prince was playing ping pong at the time. And he invited Michael Jackson to play a game with him. And, of course, this instantly drew a crowd, because if you were in a room with Michael Jackson and Prince and they started playing ping pong, like, this would be the greatest sports event of all time. I think we can all agree on that. But, you know, they start playing, and Michael Jackson was very timid, and Prince was very aggressive, you know, very competitive. And he was trying to get Michael Jackson to play harder than he was playing. And finally, Prince just sort of slams the ball at Michael Jackson, and it hits Michael Jackson, let's just say in the man region. And he was embarrassed, and he left. And when Michael Jackson left, Prince was very proud of himself, and he was sort of strutting around the room. And according to one of the people who were there, they said that he said that Michael Jackson played like Helen Keller. Hmm. Not a very politically correct thing to say, but nevertheless, this ping pong game was very important for Prince to win versus Michael Jackson. So, you know, that's one manifestation, I guess, of that rivalry.
We're talking to Stephen Hyden right now. He's the author of Your Favorite Band is Killing Me, What Pop Music Rivalries Reveal About the Meaning of Life. And just to finish up with this Prince thread, you know, we just lost Prince recently, and Michael Jackson's been gone for a while, but you write a little bit about how when they, growing up is the wrong word, but later on in life, Michael Jackson became very reclusive, very very unique. He was a quirky guy, whereas Prince sort of came into his own and had a comeback. How did that change the way people saw the two of them?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting how when an artist passes away, it really changes how they're perceived, you know, because when we look at Michael Jackson and Prince, you know, they now have this sort of like saintly image in a way, you know, like all of the rough edges that they had when they were alive, you know, they get sanded away and they get turned into these sort of perfect icons. But, you know, both of those guys went through periods in their career when they faced a lot of criticism in the public. And, you know, in the 80s, Michael Jackson, of course, was the biggest star on the planet. And Prince, he had a lot of success with Purple Rain, but then after that record came out, he went through some kind of mixed periods in his career. Like, he had hits, but he also did things that were sort of hard for the public to understand. And, you know, the big example is, you know, Michael Jackson spearheaded We Are the World, and Prince didn't appear on the song. He was, like, one of the only big pop stars of the period who didn't do We Are the World. And he was really criticized for that. You know, there's this famous Saturday Night Live sketch where Billy Crystal impersonates Prince in this, and he performs this song called I Am the World. And he's actually wearing blackface in the sketch, if you can believe it. I mean, that's where our culture was at 30 years ago, where Billy Crystal in blackface was somehow less offensive than Prince not doing We Are the World. So, like, that's Prince's sort of predicament in the 80s. But then, of course, 20 years later, Michael Jackson has fallen on hard times career-wise. He's gone through, you know, numerous accusations of child molestation. And now this idea that Prince was sort of the weird one has been put in perspective. You know, like, his weirdness seems sort of quirky now. You know, there was the Chappelle Show sketch that came out around that time that made Prince seem endearing. You know, his sort of eccentricity seemed endearing now, whereas Michael Jackson's weirdness seems sort of predatory almost, or scary for people. So that was an interesting flip that happened over the course of those decades. But of course, now that they're both, you know, sadly no longer with us, they kind of both have that iconic feel to them now.
We're talking with Stephen Hayden about his new book. It's called Your Favorite Band is Killing Me, What Pop Music Rivalries Reveal About the Meaning of Life.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you taken sides in one of these musical rivalries? Did you or do you prefer the Rolling Stones or the Beatles, Prince or Michael Jackson? Or is there another heated rivalry? I will maybe get into it yet in the half hour that took a side on, had an opinion on. And why do you think people feel motivated to take sides in these musical debates? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're continuing the conversation with author Stephen Hayden about his new book. It's called Your Favorite Band is Killing Me, What Pop Music Rivalries Reveal About the Meaning of Life.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. One of the big ones that started it all, Beatles or Rolling Stones? A lot of people still have an opinion on that. Do you? Did you lean toward one or the other? Or were you able to listen to one or the other just fine? Michael Jackson or Prince? Another one we've been talking about. Pearl Jam or Nirvana? Taylor Swift or Kanye? That was a brief flare-up. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we can talk a little bit more, because they are, of course, in some circles, some opinions, the greatest bands of all time, the Stones and the Beatles. Stephen, let's talk about them. You talk about some bands, you think of them as being more Stone bands, and some bands are Beatles bands. How do you shake that down? How do you tell which is which, and why is it important to you to do that at all?
Well, you know, the Beatles and Stones, of course, you know, they originated in the 60s, and I was born in the 70s, so I came to them when they were classic rock bands, and they already had this sort of mystique to them. And I discovered them early enough in my life as a music fan where they just both sort of took on this like archetypical quality for me. Like, I realized after a time that like every band that I liked seemed to fit either like a Beatles mold or a Stones mold. And like the Beatles mold, I always think of it as like a very melodic, you know, sort of song oriented group. Whereas like with the Rolling Stones, it's more about like vibe and sweat and attitude, you know? So like, I mean, there's so many different bands that I could put under, like to me, like a band like Wilco, for instance, is like a Beatles band because they do great things in the studio and they're very song oriented and they have great melodies and all that. Whereas, you know, a Stones band would be, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example of a Stones band.
You mentioned Queens of the Stone Age is one of your Stones bands, I think.
Yeah. Queens of the Stone Age, you know, where it's about seeing them live and it makes you want to drink whiskey when you listen to this music, you know, like that's to me what the Stones are. And I mean, I think that's why that rivalry lives on for people, because I feel like those bands really do represent certain qualities that are bigger than that. Like you can, if you say the Rolling Stones, they signify a certain set of qualities for people. It works as shorthand in that way. And just like the term Beatlesque, you know, people use that word all the time. And it sort of carries with it a certain expectation of a band having, you know, being a melodic band that does great studio creations.
And Stephen, you mentioned that while the rivalry wasn't some kind of deep-seated hatred, it did play out in some cases in their musical output. And here's a clip from the Rolling Stones' answer to the Sgt. Pepper album by the Beatles, kind of psychedelic. Sounds a little like the Stones are, I don't know, responding to, mocking the Beatles' sound. This is On With The Show from their album, Rolling Stones, Their Satanic Majesty's Request.
Good evening, one and all. We're all so glad to see you now. We'll play your favorite song for you all so happy atmosphere. We'll start with Overall River.
So did they, I mean, that's so obviously copying on Sgt. Pepper there. Did the Stones, like, were they out front about that?
I don't know if they were necessarily making fun of the Beatles. In a way, I feel like there was a period where the Stones were sort of doing everything the Beatles did like 6 months later, you know? I mean, like the Rolling Stones, like first, like one of their first singles was actually a Beatles cover, that song, I Want to Be Your Man. You know, because like the Stones, when they first started out, were doing like a lot of blues covers. You know, they weren't really writing their own songs early on. So, you know, like I said before, I feel like a lot of the rivalries I write about, there's sort of an institution that's really popular, and then there's like a reactionary institution. And I think that does start with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, because, you know, and even now, like, the Beatles are like still like a tremendously popular band, and to the point like where if you say you hate the Beatles, that still has significance. Like, we've seen recent instances of that, like in pop culture, like where like there was a rap group called Migos, who a couple of years ago they put out a mixtape, and like there was this campaign online talking about like how Migos were better than the Beatles, you know, because of this record. And of course, I mean, that was done tongue in cheek, but of course that like really got people riled up, especially like baby boomer people who are very protective of the Beatles. But you know, even now, like 50 years later, after the Beatles, you know, first came to America, this idea that like if you kind of take shots at them, that still has significance, you know, because they're so big. You know, it's like making fun of Coca-Cola or, you know, IBM or something. You know, they're such a big brand. And the Stones, while I don't think that they hated the Beatles, certainly the way that they crafted their image, it was very much sort of the opposite of what the Beatles were doing. You know, the Beatles wore suits, and the Stones wore, you know, like dirty clothes, like dirty jeans and, you know, untucked shirts and all this. And, you know, I find that kind of recurs all the time. You know, like, if you want to talk about Taylor Swift and Kanye West, for example, like, Taylor Swift is, like, the biggest pop star in the world. And then you have Kanye West, who, like, literally takes an award out of her hand on television. And, you know, certainly a lot of people thought that was obnoxious on Kanye West's part, but there were also a lot of people who appreciated that. You know, it's like, okay, yes, like, enough of Taylor Swift. Like, let's have someone sort of stand up to this person who seems to be everywhere. And, you know, you referenced that before, how that was a brief flare-up. Earlier this year, there was a new Kanye West record called The Life of Pablo, and there's a song on there called Famous, where he took another shot at Taylor Swift. And I can't quote the lyrics because this is public radio, but you know, he took credit for making her famous, basically. That's like the idea of the song.
And let's make sure to get to some of our callers now, and we'll take first Don from Hillsborough. Don, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make a comment. You know, I'm a baby boomer, and I like the Rolling Stones. You know, they did good rock and roll and good sort of blues and stuff, but I think the Beatles are sort of a greater band because their subject matter was like a wider spectrum. It was more like slices of life stuff, you know, like Lovely Rita Metermaid or Uncle Albert or, you know, just things about sort of British life in the 1960s or whatever. And I see that as more like human, you know. It's almost like Shakespearean or something. You know, this wide range of personalities.
Don, thanks a lot for that. I want to make sure we get our guest in on this. And Stephen, what do you say about that? There's someone who likes, I think probably most people like both the Stones and the Beatles. And Don making the case the Beatles are a little more artistic there, I think. So does that kind of thing play out in the band's careers or the way that they sell records, the way that people think about them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that caller's point of view, I think it's a pretty common point of view, the idea that the Beatles are maybe more artistic and the Stones are sort of more elemental or earthy. I mean, in my book, I don't really take sides. Like, I decided that early on that I wasn't interested in sort of declaring that one person is better than the other, because I'm more interested in why people care about this stuff and in the dynamics of these relationships. I think that's really interesting. But, yeah, I mean, again, you know, just hearing the caller talk about, like, why he likes the Beatles, he's sort of talking about bigger things. You know, he's kind of putting, like, value on sort of an artisticness in a way. Like, he's likening them to Shakespeare over maybe something that's what the Stones represent, which is something kind of grittier and more sort of instinctual, maybe, in a way. And to me, it's just interesting to hear people talk about that stuff and, like, maybe, like, what that says about how they look at the world.
So, Stephen, in your book, there have been the ones we've talked about. There's the Tupac and Biggie ones, White Stripes and Black Keys. Is there a rivalry germinating right now, briefly, that you've got your eye on that maybe is the lead chapter in the sequel of the book?
Oh, man. You know, if I would have started this a little bit later, I would have wanted to write about the Drake-Meek Mill rivalry, which, you know, that bubbled up last year. And I thought that was a really interesting beef, just because it, what it says about, like, where we're at with celebrity right now. Because Drake was able to win that basically just because he was a lot more famous. And celebrity is sort of the ultimate currency right now, especially in music. So I think that would have been fun to write about if I had started a little bit later, maybe.
Or maybe in the next one. Steven, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great. Thanks. Thank you so much.
We've been talking to Wisconsin author Steven Hayden. His new book is called Your Favorite Band is Killing Me, What Pop Music Rivalries Reveal About the Meaning of Life. Still time for you to weigh in, by the way, over at the Central Time Facebook page. I got a link to some information about the book there. And you can let us know your answer to some of the great questions about musical rivalries. Rolling Stones or Beatles? Favorite song by either? Which one wins? Prince or Michael Jackson? Or make up a rivalry of your own and pick a side. That's at the Central Time Facebook page.